together. I think we are working together, though we have different opinions on some of these issues. My view was that they broke their word to you. That they violated their
contract. You know what, Robert? Okay, now, I spoke with you last night out at the meeting, and I told you I was going to let you have it with both barrels.
Go
now, maybe
it.
That was a little bit on the rough side or a little too much, but,
no,
but the point
shoot,
is,
shoot.
Who gives a damn what in the hell happened in the past? It's over and done with. There's not a damn thing we can do about it. What we need to concentrate on now is the here and now and what's going to happen in the immediate future.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to sit there and rehash old dead dogs. Let them lie.
Mm-hmm.
We have immediate problems right now, and that is within 48 hours, we have to relocate. There's a whole bunch of folks. There's 40 to 50 of us out there at the beach now. But what about the other 200 or 250 that got displaced and didn't get to go out there?
Exactly.
Okay, something has to be done now.
So what are you suggesting, Billy?
I'm suggesting some of these idiots get off their dead asses and do something. But on the other hand, we have a community here, an obviously caring community, because I was on a program on an interview, a talk show the other night.
I heard that this morning.
Okay. I was on the air, and we had a lot of call-ins from the surrounding community, and obviously we have a lot more support from the community than the press or the police wish for us to know about, okay? If, you know, for those of you who are in support of us to try to, you know, to help us out a little bit, make your phone calls to your city council members and whatnot.
And the council number, by the way, for those of you who are listening, is 429-3550. That's 429-3550. And that number is a 24-hour number. You can call at any time and demand that city council take immediate action, go into emergency session if necessary, or achieve an informal consensus one way or another, directing Mike Rotkin to establish an emergency camping area in one of the sites proposed by the River Street refugees. And what are those sites?
There are various sites.
Hey, thank you.
We have a gentleman here, Daniel, that probably would be better to give you the names of those areas that are presently being considered. But the thing is in an earthquake situation like in 89, okay, the earthquake happened. The city came to the aid of business owners in an emergency status. Why in the hell can't they do that for us?
They put them up in tents, in fact.
Exactly. They put them up in dome tents. I'm not saying that we need to be in dome tents necessarily, but there are certain areas that could be made temporarily available to us. There are public lands that could be made available that are not being used for anything. There are several places, you know, prospective sites that we could use at least temporarily.
And your group, Billy, has presented a list of these sites to Mayor Rotkin and the City Council. Is that correct?
Like again, Daniel would be a better one to give you that information.
And
Daniel, you want?
But I've seen the statement by the most recent press release by Barbara Riverwoman and by your group, and my understanding is, and of course I think you're quoted in the news media today. Let me check that. I think we have actually there's Wednesday's paper. There's Tuesday's paper. It's here. I just got to find it. You have proposed specific sites. I've heard sites, I don't know if you've proposed these, but the Sycamore Grove at the Poganip has been proposed in the past. The Open Air Shelter Site Committee, the great city council subcommittee that was ballyhooed throughout the fall as a kind of the letting the Citizens Committee for the Homeless off the hook subcommittee that was going to go find a campground and open it for next March for the open air shelter so that the community house 48 person $1.3 million trailer project could proceed. They supposedly found a couple sites like they suggested Hardy West would be a site, certain places there. And I believe you've also, De La Vega Park, I think, was looked at, too, by some of your folks who were doing some investigating. And I guess if anybody has more specifics on that, I'm having trouble finding the press release from your group. Please give a call to 427-3772. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz, because you're on the air with Billy, Dan, Greg. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And Stanley, as well as, of course, the ever-present Robert. Why don't you pursue the subject of what the campers have been up to in the last week and a half, and what kind of plans are you making, given silence from city officials, which let's be realistic, that's what you've been getting, silence or else negative comments. What kind of suggestions are kind of going around the campground as to what to do on January 1st when the boom comes down?
Well, Robert, It's basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to stay together as a group, okay?
Right.
That, in itself, we feel that as long as we're in a group, we stand a better chance for our voice to be heard. And we're representing the entire community here, the homeless community here, which is, they've counted numbers, and those numbers range right around the 3,000 mark, okay? What people aren't taking into consideration, when they count 3,000, when they do a census...
Homeless in the county, you mean?
Yeah, when they do a census, and they count these numbers, you have to take into account that for every one they count, there's five they haven't seen, okay? This is not a small problem. All right.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I have suggested as a possible temporary site is Lighthouse Field.
Mm-hmm.
It's ideal. There's wind breaks. There's proper water runoff. There's public restrooms available.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with that? Just even as a temporary solution, even for just a month or two throughout the winter this year, so that there is time available for the city council to get off their dead asses and do something.
Well, how about that? Let's give a call to Mayor Mike Rutkin right now and suggest that site to him, shall we?
Sure.
So we're going on the air here, trying to reach City Council, and see if we can get
some word from Mayor Mike Rutkin as to, since there's only 48 hours left.
We do need an immediate solution.
Okay, and I'll tell him Billy, who is calling.
Billy Franklin.
Mayor, City Manager's Office?
Yes, we're trying to reach Mayor Mike Rutkin.
Okay, and your name?
Billy Franklin is calling in.
Okay, just a moment.
He's on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, Mayor Rutkin.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Billy Franklin. You are on the air.
Okay.
But I have a suggestion for a possible solution to the deal that we have to deal with in 48 hours from out here at the New Brighton area.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what I would like to suggest as a possibility, just for a temporary solution, would be the Lighthouse Field area. Is that a possibility?
It's not a possibility. The City of Santa Cruz is not prepared to provide any outdoor camping areas for people. We have indoor shelters that we're encouraging people to make use of, and at this point we're not looking for a place.
Why?
Because no community on the West Coast provides people with outdoor camping areas for free, and the City of Santa Cruz of 50,000 people is not going to become the solution to this problem. We provide more services than any other city in the country, and at this point we're not prepared to provide that particular service. I know people have needs, and there's no question about that, but this is a national problem that no one city is going to be in a position to fix.
Sir, we're not asking you to fix the whole entire nation's problem. What we're looking for is a temporary solution to through this winter, okay? I don't understand what you're saying is to hell with the homeless.
No, that's not what we're saying.
Well, you just told me you're not looking and you don't care to look. It's not your job.
For that particular solution, for an outdoor camping area, no, we're not interested in providing that at the City of Santa Cruz.
Okay, now, you suggest that we should all go to the indoor areas, okay? Can you get a law passed that says we can have our pets?
No, the people who have pets are going to have to figure out something for themselves about what they're doing. I mean,
in other words, we're going to have to go to jail and have our pets killed and eradicated.
No, I understand that there are a number of people who are willing to provide people with ways to kennel their dogs while they go in the shelter and so forth, and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless has a list of those individuals.
Would you kennel your child?
Well, the point is, the city...
The point, sir, is these pets are family members. Some of us have those pets. They are our children.
Yeah, two people...
Would you kennel your child?
Two of the people among the campers have had pets for over 6 months. The remainder got them more recently, and I've looked into that myself. So let's not create some impossible problem to solve. Two families could take in those two individuals. That would be the end of the children analogy, okay? So let's get the facts straight, at least, about this. The majority of the pets have been picked up by people at the homeless campground over the last couple of weeks and months. That's the situation. And if you go ask people, you'll find that out yourself.
Well, I happen to live amongst the group out at New Brighton.
Okay, and you know that some of those people, there's two of them, who've had their dogs for over 6 months, and the remainder have picked them up over the most recent period.
I have one gentleman right here with me who's had his dog for approximately 7 years.
No, I said there are two people who've had them for a very long time, and I think they've got a serious problem about, you know, what needs
but
to be done.
But see, that's not the point is. So you're telling me that if you have a newborn baby that you should have to give up that baby?
No, I'm saying that the city of Santa Cruz is not in a position to provide shelters for people.
You just stated that you could kennel those dogs.
I say that is one possible solution. It's not. I'm not saying.
Well,
that's
another possible solution is for the citizens here, or excuse me, the council here, to make us an allowance for just this winter.
Well,
for an emergency situation. What happened in 89 with the earthquakes? You guys put the city council and the city government here put the business owners up in tents. Now what's up?
What's your point?
My point is, you provide for business owners. Why can't you provide for us? I personally am trying to get ahead in this world. I need a place where I can lay down at night and sleep legally so that I can spend time during the day filling out job applications and doing job interviews so that I can better myself and get off the street.
Well, I'd suggest that if you have the ability, if you don't have a pet yourself, that you go inside one of the indoor shelters that has plenty of spaces left and, you know, try and get yourself together in that way. If not, there's been solutions people have had every other winter, which is go camp wherever they find a place to do it.
Yes, and end up in jail.
Well, then it's not likely. Most people don't actually get arrested because there's a complaint basis.
I've been fighting these tickets for 20 years, my friend.
Well, I suggest that you figure out something else to do with your life at this point. I don't know what to tell you beyond that. You know, it's to suggest that the city of Santa Cruz has an obligation to provide you with a place to stay is not reasonable. We provide more services for homeless people than any other city in the United States. That's a pretty bold claim. And to say that we now have to provide some new level of service that puts us even further above what other communities are doing.
Oh, I mean, I don't want your other services. All I want is a place where I can pitch my tent and leave my belongings while I go out and find a job.
You may want that, but the city of Santa Cruz does not have an obligation to provide it for
you. I didn't say they were obligated.
Well, then, you know, you've asked and the city's given a clear response. I don't know what else to tell you.
Okay, you have given a clear response. The citizens have not.
Well, the next time that the city, even the city council meets is not till January sometime, and we have two meetings in January. The mayor's in no position to, you know, to pass new programs by fiat. I'm simply one of seven council members. And at this point, I don't believe any of the council members are planning to provide a new service for the homeless, namely an outdoor winter campground. Now, maybe somebody is, but I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay, Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. I have another gentleman here that would like to speak with you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Stanley. I've had my dog now for 7 years.
Uh-huh, right.
And you're on the air, so.
Yes, I understand.
And so I've managed to keep my dog out of jail, you know, for all that time, which is pretty amazing. You know, most of the time I was had a home, but I went back to visit my parents, took the dog all the way across the country back, and do you know that I can't get within 2 blocks of the mall because I have a dog?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's up with that?
That's true for anybody with dogs, that we don't allow pets on the mall.
Hey, that's not true for anybody with dogs. I've seen yuppies come through there on
no,
the
you
weekends.
Haven't.
Yes,
the
I have.
Well,
I have seen them with my own eyes.
The dog law is enforced against anybody, and anybody that brings pets to the mall will be stopped by the police. If they don't take their dog away immediately, they're going to get a citation. Eventually, the dog will end up at the pound, and that's not directed at anybody because they're poor. That's basically deciding that that's a public space where we don't think it's appropriate for people to have dogs, anybody, whether
well,
they're rich or poor.
I have actually seen that.
Well, I've seen and gotten calls as the mayor from people that have plenty of money complaining that somehow their dogs got ticketed on the mall and so forth. So it's being enforced against everybody. Sure, anybody may go down there and get away with it for 10 minutes, but eventually an officer will find you with a dog. You will get a citation for having, you know, first you'd be asked just to leave. And if you don't, you know, pay attention, you'll get a citation. And anybody will, whether they have money or don't. And that's a decision that's been made, you know, that basically we don't feel it's inappropriate here for people to have dogs.
Why did they make that decision? You know, like if you've got a very well-behaved, you know, I've got a mature dog. That
because your dog may be well-behaved, but other people, we know from past experience, other people think their dogs are well-behaved, but they get down in a public space. Somebody else has a dog. The two dogs get into a fight for whatever reason. People are frightened by the dogs. It makes people feel like it's not a safe area. I'm not saying your dog's not a, you know, safe one, but we can't pass a law saying, you know, you can have safe dogs down there because that's when you start to have problems. And so after some, you know, careful consideration over a long time, like most cities, we've decided in the main downtown business area that we don't want to have dogs down there. It has nothing to do with poverty.
Mayor Rockin, I have personally...
I can't hear
Billy again.
Someone's talking about it. I can't hear him.
Okay, this is Billy again. You know, I have personally seen some of your police officers here reach down and pet the dogs of the people, of the middle class and upper class citizens here, and never say a word to them about it being illegal, but yet my friend Stanley here gets cited for it or harassed for it.
I just, you know... Again, you may have some particular example of something strange going on.
I have personally witnessed these officers petting these dogs and playing with them and then not saying a word about it being illegal.
And I've gotten calls from people with plenty of money complaining that, you know, how come they got a citation for their dog being out there, even though, you know, they're a taxpayer, they're here, blah, blah, blah. And the point is, there's a law out there against anybody having a dog, and I do my best to see that it's, you know, evenly enforced against people. I believe that it generally is. I'm sure there's exceptions like anything, you know, like speeding. People get stopped for speeding. They know somebody who was going faster, but that doesn't mean that it's not reasonable to have speeding laws.
Well, you have a good valid point there. But the point is, if it's illegal for one, it should be illegal for all.
Absolutely. There's no disagreement about that. And as far as I know, those laws are generally being enforced against anybody that brings dogs down there. We've even had complaints from a person who owned a dog who owns a business down there who wanted to bring his dog to his business, and he got into trouble with the police about it. So it's not like being just directed against people that are homeless or that, you know, that look raggedy or something. That is not the issue here.
Hello, Mayor Rockin. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, this is Daniel Hopkins.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi. I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of the tremendous mental anguish and suffering that these homeless people have gone through before they even left the Coral Street shelter? Are you aware of the particulars of that?
Well, I know that people, obviously being homeless is not easy for anybody, and I'm sure people go through tremendous trauma.
Because of the actions of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and the City Council, some people lost their entire belongings as a result of lack of communication through whatever was supposed to be going on between the City Council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and the supposedly staff that was there on the grounds.
When was this supposed to happen, Daniel?
Okay, over many days before we actually left there,
mm-hmm.
we were constantly threatened with today's the day. No one knew what day we were going to be thrown out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So people were scurrying around, throwing their stuff away because they thought they were going to be kicked out that day. People that had jobs.
Let me respond to that. There's a situation where we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. If we go down there and say, okay, today's the day, you got to be out of here and stuff, then people say, how come you're so unreasonable? You don't give people time to get it together to work out a transition. We posted a formal notice on Tuesday, the 12th of December. I think it's 12th or 11th. The 12th of December, and told people, you are hereby illegal. It's time to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Then people had until the following Monday, almost a week, before we actually, and nobody was arrested during this period. People were told as they were supposed to be. You know, you're now illegal. It's time. In fact, people were illegal since October 94, but it was posted in December. People were given 7-6 days to get their stuff together, waiting for the weather to dry out their tents, et cetera, try to be as reasonable as we could. Now, to say that somehow somebody lost their stuff because they panicked, I don't want to hear about it. It's an unreasonable claim against the city.
So
we were so reasonable.
Why are everybody revolving around the truth and sidestepping the truth?
There's no sidestepping the truth.
There's
I just laid it
out there.
We posted on the 10th. Is this not true?
Yes.
We posted on the 10th saying...
Yes, and they also posted another sign up there within a day or two and said that we were supposed to be out that day. And then they turned around and took it back
there was
down.
There was one posting from the city of Santa Cruz.
No.
The only posting
they took
that
it
the
down
city...
almost immediately.
You can't find such a posting because it was never created. The only posting from the city of Santa Cruz was posted on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. It said, this campground is closed. You're subject to citation if you stay here. And the next thing that happened is we made arrangements with the Citizens Committee and Scott Kennedy and I went out to New Brighton State Beach, worked out the temporary campground. When I was requested by the people living at the campground for 2 more weeks, I worked out the 2 more weeks for people to do it for free. The city provided the money to pay for it, which turns out to be $2,200 for total, for the total service and everything. And we ended up providing buses and everything else, bus passes for people. We worked all that stuff out. And now I'm telling you as plainly as I told you, you know, as the city was announced it back on the 10th of the 12th of December, that on the 1st of January, that campground, your 14 days are up at the state park. Please don't sit out there having illusions that something's going to come and save you from it. People need to get their plans together, pack it up,
You know,
once again, rides will be provided from that area back to the city of Santa Cruz for anybody that wants them.
But
don't talk about anxiety for not knowing what's going on. I'm as clear as I can be about this.
Now, you had mentioned that we had time to dry our tents. There was only one problem, mm-hmm. is there was only two dryers on the campground. My stuff is still wet from that storm because I was not able to get into the dryer because there were so many people in
there. You didn't need to be in the dryer. There were three or four warm, dry days that week between the Tuesday when we closed that camp and the Saturday. You had several sunny days that would have dried out a tent.
No. What the situation is. You have all your stuff wet in the locker. It's mildew. Within 48 hours, it's mildew. And all kinds of things. There was not enough room in the dryers because there were so many people lined up in the dryers every single day. And people did not know what was happening on the ground. Number one, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, why was that bathroom, that porta potty, put on film and said that there was urine running down the hill when in fact there was no urine running down the hill? And supposedly, from what I understand, that's why that campground was closed, and it was rainwater that ran off the hill from the dinette area into the porta potty. And this is the truth. This is the things that people don't want to hear.
You're focusing too much on little details. The fact is,
it's a big detail.
The city never intended that to be a winter campground. The place was uninhabitable at the time we closed it down.
Let's forget that subject. I want to ask you another question.
Go ahead.
The name of that organization is Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
Correct.
Why are they not standing up for us if they're supposed to be representing the homeless? And do they represent the citizens of Santa Cruz? I doubt that. And I know that they do not.
I do know that they provide shelters for hundreds of people in the city. And the fact that they're not meeting the needs of a particular group of people, they never claim they're going to meet every homeless person's needs. They are doing a tremendous service for the people. And for you to claim that somehow they're not, it's very unreasonable of you. It really is. I mean, these are people who have self-sacrifice, go out and gather money from other citizens, as well as getting some city money, but most of their money actually comes from donations, and they put together a church program for people to sleep inside. They run the National Guard Armory program at two sites, one in Watsonville and one in Santa Cruz, and to turn on them like somehow they're mean-spirited or they're not providing for people is ridiculous and outrageous.
Well, Mayor Rutkin, last night we were in a meeting with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, mm-hmm. and if you see that on film, which it is on film, you will see why we know that their hearts are not in the right place.
Well, that's between you and them. You'll have to talk to
them
about it.
Well, you know what? Those people don't care, and they don't even, one lady tried to say that they should be some homeless people on the board itself, and another person stood up who's in charge there and said something to the effect of, we don't know if we really want homeless people to be on all levels of our operation.
We're going to have to change the conversation, because if you want to take them on, get one of their spokesperson on the phone. I can't defend them because I wasn't there. I don't know what went on. You know, I think they're a very good group of people, but it's an absurd conversation for you to tell me bad things about them. It's like the listening public out there has no way to understand what's going on.
Mike, this is Robert Norris.
Hi, Robert.
I want to thank you for talking to these people. We have another man who wants to speak briefly to you on a second issue. I just had a couple quick questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some controversy about who closed the campground.
The Citizens Committee.
That's been my opinion,
sent
too.
A formal written request to the city to close the place down, which the city then prepared to enforce. And as it turned out, we were not required to because people left voluntarily on the Monday.
Mm-hmm. Was there any pressure from the city to close the campground down?
I wouldn't describe it as pressure. There was no, you know, nobody made anybody do anything. The Citizens Committee made their decision about closing it down. The city may have closed, as I made clear when I went out to the campground and talked to people on Saturday the 16th, had the Citizens Committee not closed it down, we may have decided to close it down because of health and safety issues, but as it turned out, we didn't. The facts are they made a formal written request of us to close it down, and as it turned out, we didn't have to do that.
The reason I ask you is that Paul Lee, who was chair of the Citizens Committee's executive board meeting last night, specifically stated it was the city and not the Citizens Committee that closed down the campground. And I thought that was an erroneous statement.
I think he's in error.
Yeah, that was my opinion,
too.
I don't think
he was not involved in that decision, so he may not know about it. The decision was made by, we were in receipt of a letter from Paul Marceau, a formal letter, who's the executive director of the Citizens Committee and therefore affect the property owner, telling us that they felt that the campground was no longer safe and should be closed down.
Now, if the Citizens Committee did decide to reopen that property or some other property, let's say a Lighthouse Field area, which they had...
Well, they would need a permit. Lighthouse Field is public state beach.
Now, wait a minute. The campground's been operated for a year and a half without a permit. Why couldn't they simply open it tomorrow, and then you guys could decide what you wanted to do?
If they opened it, we would have some police immediately to close it down, I'm sure.
You would?
Yes.
Would you do the same with the open-air shelter?
Absolutely.
So in other words, even if the Citizens Committee decided to reopen that property, you would send police in to arrest those people sleeping there with no legal place to be?
That's absolutely correct. I wouldn't send them in. The city police would take care of it themselves. Just so we're clear, the mayor doesn't have, like, executive power in the way the system works.
You would not speak out against that?
I beg your pardon?
You would not speak out against that?
No, I would be real clear what I think, that we should not be providing outdoor camping areas in the city of Santa Cruz, but I'm just making clear that it's not like I can give the police orders one way or the other. Individual council members have no real power. We act collectively as a group of
seven. So the police for a year and a half just kind of made their own decision not to arrest people, huh?
Look the other way, absolutely.
So why could they make that decision tomorrow?
Talk to them. I can't answer that question for you.
Well, in other words, you have no influence over the police department? They are not, in effect, conferring with you on these matters at all?
They haven't conferred with me. They could confer with me, but they haven't.
I mean, you don't think that that if they felt that you wanted the campground closed, they wouldn't have gone in a year and a half ago and closed
Robert,
it?
Just so we don't have any ambiguity, yes. I don't believe in the campground. I'm publicly opposed to it. I want to be real clear about that. If anybody asks me what I think about it, I think that things should not be allowed to be created. Now, in the long run, if somebody has a plan for a campground somewhere on public or private property, I'm interested in entertaining it. But that requires a program, a plan, somebody submitting something formal. And that would have to be approved by the city council.
But what I'm saying, though,
not by me, the mayor.
Right. What I'm saying, though, Mike, is that if Catherine Byers or the existing mayor had opposed the ongoing open-air shelter and said to the police, there are people illegally camping out there, are you telling me the police wouldn't have gone and made arrests? I don't believe it.
Well, I think you're wrong. I mean, I think it's not. If police do not respond. Our charter specifically prohibits individual council members.
I'm talking about political realities, Mike, not the charter.
I think the political reality is that the police respond to the will of the majority of the council, and the council has to act in public session. And I think that's a political reality here, that no individual council member can go out and make deals. That's one of the problems. Just to cite, you know, for example, I understand that there were some people under the impression that some individual council members had, you know, approved keeping the open air shelter open longer or something. No individual council member is in a position to make that kind of a deal or to negotiate that kind of an offer.
Nor are they in a position to close it.
Absolutely.
You tended to give the impression that somehow the city had the need or the power to suddenly close the campground. Rather, it would seem to me that they have, again, the option to do what they want. At least, actually, they don't really have any option to do anything. It would seem to me that if the campground were open tomorrow, if you're saying you would have no power to do particularly anything, it would be up to the discretion of the police. But yet
the police, the city, and the city manager who, you know,
right.
basically
yet you
directs
say,
them.
How can you be so sure they would move in to close the campground opened up at Lighthouse Field or at the open-air shelter tomorrow if it were done?
Oh, I'm sure that they will. I mean, it's just at this point that they basically, you know, have clear standing orders that they're not supposed to let people camp outdoors.
So, in other words,
somebody would file a complaint, and on a complaint basis, they would go and enforce it.
So, in other words, even though complaints, I'm sure, were filed about the open-air shelter, I heard lots of them, and they didn't act on those complaints. They would act on these complaints if the campground were open.
What they had at the open-air shelter is an explicit letter from the Citizens Committee saying, this place is closed, we do not want anybody, I forget the exact wording, but, you know, it's closed, we don't want people here, and as a property owner, we do not give anybody permission to be on our property.
Suppose it's reopened tomorrow. Suppose it's reopened tomorrow, or another site is reopened tomorrow.
Let me be clear. You're not doing anybody any favors to suggest to them that they're going to have some solution. The 25 people that are left at New Brighton State Beach should figure out what they're individually going to do with their situation.
I'm talking about the 800 to 1,500 people who are homeless in the Santa Cruz city
area.
They
should go on the existing spaces and the existing indoor shelters. We have plenty of space left.
Be pretty cramped in there with all those 800 to 1,500 people.
That's totally hypothetical, and the fact is there's space, and you won't deny this, because I know you're an honest person, that there are plenty of spaces left in those shelters, and it's not. There may be millions out there homeless. There are 10 million homeless in America. We are not lacking in shelter space for people to go inside our indoor shelters.
It seems to me that
which very few communities can say in this country.
We've got really to the nub of the issue. You're telling me that if the Citizens Committee opens up a piece of property, or somebody else opens up a piece of property in Santa Cruz for people to camp on,
unless they do it with a permit,
you are suggesting that they cannot do that, as has been allowed for a year and a half. That you yourself, will you lead the charge in this, Mike? Will you be down there directing the police, or should we say supporting the police as they do this?
Robert, I don't direct the police.
I know you don't direct the police, Mike, but I'm sure they pay lots of attention to statements coming out of your office in terms of city policy.
And the statement coming out of my office is that at this point, there is no program. I like to issue a formal press release, and I'm sure you've seen it, that the city of Santa Cruz has not and does not operate an ongoing winter outdoor campground. And I expect, you know, that the police are, that's the end of the statement, and my guess is that the police, my expectation is that the police will enforce the existing laws.
If another area is opened, and there is no statement from the city council either way.
How does it get opened, Robert, without a permit?
Oh, because there people are invited on the property to camp. Suddenly the Citizens Committee has an emergency session and says, because we've operated without a permit for a year and a half, we'll operate for another 2 months without a permit.
They started with a permit down there.
Right, but they didn't
have one.
They
exceeded the permit, and as people ran over it, people looked the other way.
Right.
The notion that somehow they're going to be able to set up some new site and have it open up, it's
being... So now in the worst winter weather, you're going to continue to say that you will not look the other way for 2 months?
Robert, I don't want people to have any ambiguity about this. If anybody opens up a campground in the city of Santa Cruz without a permit, without going through a full process to do it, I am sure that they will be arrested.
You want me to take a proactive role?
I know. I just don't want them to whine that somehow they didn't know what was going to happen.
Hey.
They're going to get popped. You understand? Is that clear?
I hope
all your listeners have that real clearly.
I am just concerned to know that why the same policies that you've been pursuing for a year and a half and the police department has been pursuing will not continue to be pursued if somebody opens up a campground right now to deal with emergency shelter for the homeless, perhaps taking the directive from your emergency shelter declaration of November and concerned about that site.
Past inattention for a policy, okay?
So you have a different policy. Actually, there's someone here who wants to talk. I think you made yourself real clear that when it suits,
I'm trying hard.
When
I'm
it
trying
suits your purposes, you're telling people that illegal is okay, but after December 19th, illegal is not okay. And to me, that shows that you are subordinating the needs of hundreds of people to your particular bureaucratic priorities. Here's a man to talk to. He's got a couple questions for you.
Mr. Rackin?
Yes, Mike's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Mike. This is Billy again.
Hi, Billy.
I was born and raised right here. I'm a native of Santa Cruz, okay? And you're telling me that just because I'm a little down on my luck temporarily that I am forced to either be illegal and go to jail or leave? Is that what you're telling me?
No, what I'm trying to tell you is that the city of Santa Cruz has a limit in terms of what kind of services it can provide for people. And the situation is that you can't come along and expect that somehow the city is going to provide for everybody's needs. Let me be clear, we have children that go without adequate health care in this city. We have seniors who go without adequate food. We have transportation needs that are not being met. The homeless have got needs that are not being met. No city in this country is fully meeting the needs of the people that are here. We need a completely different approach. To come to the city that provides more of these services than any other city in the country per capita, and to tell us we need to do more still, is not a reasonable request.
Wait a minute. You're forgetting. I was born and raised here. I've lived here for 34 years, my friend.
Yes.
I didn't come here from elsewhere.
But man,
I was forced due to layoffs and auto accidents that injured me. I was forced into a situation where I was forced to become homeless.
Okay, well, I don't know what... I don't have... As I said before, I wish I had a solution for everybody's problem.
I'm not the only one of the homeless out here that is in that situation. I know several of my good friends that are natives of Santa Cruz. Are you a native of Santa Cruz?
No.
Or did you come from somewhere else?
I came from somewhere else, like most people that live in this town, okay? I came here 26 years ago, and this is my home now, and the notion that somehow you have special rights because you were born here is not something that's accepted.
I'll tell you what, can I invite you out for a midnight stroll in the moonlight there after 11 o'clock, and you and I walk up and down the sidewalk and see which one of us gets arrested?
Well, I don't think either of us will be arrested if we're walking somewhere. I think the question has to do with whether people sleep somewhere.
After 11 o'clock?
You can walk somewhere after 11 o'clock. We don't have a curfew.
Okay, do this with me. Let's walk up and down the street and carry a sleeping bag, each of us, and a cup of coffee, and see who gets arrested, you or me. I would be arrested, you wouldn't.
Now, you can't tell me, honestly, that you have ever, or you know of anybody who has ever been arrested who has not been, let's say, drunk or acting out in some way, who's simply walking along with a sleeping bag, not lying down somewhere, not breaking the sleeping ban.
I have a personal friend who was sitting down after walking a long distance, who was not drinking, who doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, was walking for a long distance, sat down on his rolled up sleeping bag and was given a $65 illegal camping ticket.
Where did he sit down?
He sat down along the fence near the mall.
Well, I mean, you're telling me somebody spread their sleeping bag out on the public street?
No, he did not spread it out. It was rolled up, tied in a roll. He sat it down, sat up, and leaned against the fence to take a breather for a minute, and was issued a $65 illegal camping ticket.
Well, I mean, I can't deal with, again, details. I'm not on the scene or something. There's no law against sitting on the sidewalk at this point.
Exactly, and that's why he's going to fight it.
Well, then he'll probably get off if he wasn't sleeping.
Well, he definitely wasn't sleeping. He was awake enough to get a ticket and sign it.
Well, then he'll probably get off if that's the case.
But he shouldn't have to go through that hassle. He was harassed because he's homeless.
Okay, I mean, you have a hard time arguing that the city of Santa Cruz is somehow nastier to homeless than other towns, I think.
Mike, here's a man who wants to talk to you about a somewhat different subject.
I got other stuff I need to do, so mate, let's say I have about 5 minutes left for whoever wants to do whatever.
All right, okay. This man hasn't been able to speak to you. He is also a camper.
Okay.
And here he is.
Hi, Mike, this is Greg.
Hi, Dick, is it?
What's up?
Your name is Dick?
Greg.
Greg, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, and I'm staying at New Brighton right now. I have a question about the message you're sending to artists and various creative people that are creating goods or playing music. They're allowed to essentially beg for money, but they're not allowed to trade goods for money or play music for money. And I'd like to know why that is. What kind of message that's sending to people that you're not allowed to really work?
There's no law against putting your hat out in front of you when you play a guitar on the mall.
What about making jewelry? Or certain crafts.
Nowhere in the society that I'm aware of do you have the right to set up a business on a public space, not having business license and doing the other kinds of things. The people that paid for the sidewalk and the street to the taxes that they pay are the business people that have the businesses down there. And it's not reasonable that you should get to come along and set up a business on the sidewalk without paying some kind of comparable, you know, cost for what it costs to be in business. It's not reasonable. It's particularly problematic because in lots of cities, I know in Berkeley this has been a problem, and it's been a problem here, that when people set up stuff on the sidewalk, they don't often sell their own stuff. They end up retailing stuff that other people have made. So it's not even quite the story that somehow the individual artisan is somehow being prohibited from displaying their goods.
Well, that's just how I see it. You know, I have necklaces that I've made, and I'd like to save people money by cutting out the middleman, not selling my things to certain business people that you know, got their licenses or whatever and have severe overheads, really.
But those overheads have to do with who paved the street, who paid for the sidewalk, who pays for all the cleaning and the services that go on there. And so to have somebody decide that they're going to set up their own business, like this romantic individual ideal that you're going to just do your own thing, well, you're not doing your own thing. You're in the middle of a city that somebody's had to pay for.
How do you propose that I get a business license unless I'm able to sell my goods?
Well, the point is you need to have some place where you're going to sell it. You need to go into cooperatively with other people, which people do, and set something up if you've got, you know, some skill there. You can. There's a number of businesses in town that will take your stuff on a consignment basis and sell it, which means you don't have to have any money up front. You can give them stuff, and as they sell it, they'll give you the money for doing it. I mean, there's a number of different options that you've got, but one of them is not that you go into the middle of a downtown somewhere and you're going to set up your business on the street. All of a sudden, we'd have huge numbers of people. If we let that happen, there'd be huge numbers of people out there selling stuff on the street.
Don't you think that's sending out a strange message that people can beg for money, but they can't work for it? Don't you think that's sending out a certain message?
I think it's a strange message in our society that goes on, but the fact is the notion that it's equally as strange to say that somebody who's basically running a business inside of a place has got to pay taxes for it, has got to be involved in all these kinds of costs, and that you're going to come along and compete with them and have none of the things that they have to pay. That's also unreasonable, right? I mean, it's not a fair situation for them.
What about just selling watercolors? You know, I don't see that as something that's really competitive. You know, each individual artist has its own.
Go up and down the mall, there's lots of people that are selling art. I mean, that's one of the things that people sell, and they have to pay overhead to do that.
They started out with my way of being in a
downtown and then a place that people would want to come and be involved in commerce down there if it weren't for those people paying the taxes that they pay. I mean, that's the problem. Eventually those taxes are paid by the citizens themselves or the residents themselves when they come and buy things that do sales tax. But I mean, ultimately that's the situation that you've got. The notion that somehow the downtown is just there as far as you're concerned, but somebody has actually constructed that town. We actually have a sense of what it costs because we just paid for it recently after the earthquake.
Well, then I'd be glad to get a peddler's license. Is there anything like that where, you know, I could be licensed to just go down the street and...
The cheapest thing that they've got that I'm aware of are these various kiosks that become available from time to time, and those cost some money. You got to come up with some money to do that.
And how do you propose that I come up with money unless I'm able to sell my goods?
How much money does it cost?
The only other way that I know that you can do it, there's small business loans. There's for people trying to get started in business, there are a possibility, again, depending on the quality of your art and how much stuff you got, you know, there's a possibility that you could get together with some other artists and develop some kind of a store. That's the Artisans Cooperative, for example, that's down there.
Well, I don't have a huge inventory. I'm carrying my whole world on my back, you know.
No, but maybe you should get together with some other people that are selling jewelry and put together a small business. And actually, if you think that's the way you're going to make a living, but then you should have to pay the same kinds of costs that anybody else in a small business has to pay. That's only reasonable. Anything else is really unfair to those people that are paying that overhead.
much are the permits?
For the kiosk, I'm not sure. You know, you have to look into it. You could come down to City Hall and get the numbers. They're all public information. I just don't know myself.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mike, you've been very generous. In case you want to hear the ongoing discussion around this issue, it's again 96.3 FM.
Okay.
And Dan has, he promised me a 1 minute question that is on a question he wants to give to you. Can you deal with that?
Okay, last question.
All right, thank you, Mike.
The problem that this person was just talking about is that the police will go to a person that is homeless and tell them to move or whatever on the sidewalk if they're playing their music or whatever, if it's too loud or something like that. But they do not go to people who are businessmen who do exactly the same thing in front of Logos, a little coffee stand there. They have musicians. As long as they okay it and they play loud, it's okay. If the Aquarian Funks of the Downtown Businessmen Associations block the entire sidewalk with all their A-frame signs and long horns and play loud music, the police do not go to them, but they go to us, and they tell us not to do that, and they also go along that fence on Hippie Corner. If the people have walked away from their sleeping bags or their packs or whatever it is that they have, any of their property, the police, I have seen this with my own eyes, regularly jump out of the car, and they go immediately straight to the fence. They say, I'm picking all this stuff up. If anybody doesn't pick it up right now, I'm throwing it in my trunk. And we had to actually yell to the people in the parking lot to hurry up and run over there. And a man was getting ready to grab the stuff, the police officer, to grab the stuff and throw it in people's trunks. With no warning whatsoever, not even like 5 minutes or anything, he was going to take it right then within a minute. And this,
Dan, your minute's up.
Okay.
Let me give you a 30-second response.
Okay.
Pacific Avenue is not a place for people to leave their stuff lying on the sidewalk. I completely support the police for picking people's stuff up when they walk away from it. I'm sorry, it's not a place where people should be leaving their stuff. It's one thing to have it with you. There's a situation with the, there's a couple of, there are some permit areas along the sidewalk where people actually are paying rent to be out there on the sidewalk. There's a hot dog stand and some other stuff, a couple flower stands. The as far as the musicians go, as far as I know, none of them have permits. And it's all basically on the current arrangement is that people play, anybody can play who wants to, anybody can throw a hat out in front of them or their case and ask for some money. And there's a general understanding that people will move on, anybody will move on after a while if they're asked to do so. So I think that happens basically as people play badly or sing badly or whatever they're doing. Eventually people complain and ask them to move on. And generally now there's a very informal, it's not a formal thing, informal understanding that they'll move on after a while, but there's no permits for playing music on the street. Now there are certain events that happen. There are days where there are sidewalk sales, there are events like, you know, first night the whole place is going to be full of 15,000 people. And on those days, certainly people do things out on the sidewalk, but to sort of treat that as if it's a general situation, I think it's not really an accurate representation of what's going on.
Mike, I want to thank you, and I also want to tell you that I noticed you were serving food at the Veterans Hall on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
You were at the cookie area, as I noticed.
Pies. I was serving pies.
That was right. It was pies.
Next to the cookies.
Yeah, but we didn't grab a pie and give it back to you in an impolite manner. I want you to note that.
Well, I want to give you great appreciation for that decision. I'm sure it required huge constraint.
I want to invite you to repeat your performance on first night when HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, will probably be serving free food downtown. You can also perhaps don a Christmas hat and help out homeless who don't have the money to engage in the first night free services.
Okay, well, given that there'll be 15,000 people down there, your food will probably disappear pretty quickly, so you better bring a lot.
Hey, we'll try and do that.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was Mayor Mike Rotkin on air here discussing with actually campers from the New Brighton State Beach Campground, refugees in essence from the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, some of them natives of Santa Cruz, trying to find a legal place to sleep and destined to become criminals in 48 hours. I repeat, in 48 hours these people will become illegal. It will be illegal for them to fall asleep. We'll have to have brainwave pattern machines checking out if these people are awake or asleep, because as we know, under the city's sleeping ban, it is illegal to be a snoozin' after 11 o'clock, unless, of course, you're lucky enough to have a house, a hotel, or perhaps, I don't know, I guess you can fall asleep in the mayor's office in theory. Well, in theory, that's illegal, but I fall asleep just thinking about the mayor's office at this point. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Our phone lines are open. If you have any comments on the dialogue you have just heard, if you have any support you want to offer the River Street refugees, if you're interested in joining a HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom demonstration on first night, if you just want to register support for Mayor RoboCop Rotkin's views, as I call them, because indeed, why do I call him RoboCop? Well, he's going to enforce those... He takes a stand on enforcing the laws about leaving your backpack sitting on the sidewalk. So if you have to go take a dump somewhere down the street, hey, good luck. Can't leave it there. Obviously, he's supporting discriminatory laws, although he's trying to do so under a non-discriminatory cover. And this is a sad thing, because Mike is the one council member, Mike Rotkin, who calls himself a socialist. But I think we've seen on the air, and we've seen actually through his performance in the last decade as one of the revolving door council persons, exactly what that label means to him. It doesn't mean much. It doesn't have anything to do with really poor people. Maybe, who knows, Marxist-Leninist theory doesn't think too much of the lumpen proletariat, the people at the bottom. You know, you gotta be at least a member of a union to get some notice from Uncle Mike. Am I being harsh with Mike? Nah. I mean, I think we've listened to enough of this stuff. We have listened to this, you know, hour after hour, week after week, year after year, series of excuses, a series of evasions, a series of justifications, a series of, you know, it's okay to do for one, but it's not okay to do for the other, a series of, you know, Santa Cruz has wonderful services and so forth, and I'm, frankly, it's time for us to take action ourselves. It's time to support the New Brighton State Beach campers. It's time to support demonstrations about civil rights for the poor, which incidentally is what happened this week at the Java House. And I think we're going to actually be seeing something more about that in the media. The Sentinel did a little story on it on Wednesday. We had a demonstration at the Java House on Tuesday, on the day after Christmas, because John and Leslie, as you may remember, were a couple who were barred from the Java House for buying a cup of coffee for a homeless person named Curtis, who had previously been told by Kick 'Em Out Kevin, or perhaps it was, stiff-necked Stuart, and these are the two managers of the Java House, that he couldn't come in there. He was evicted, as many others have been evicted from the Java House, and then essentially exiled for life. I've actually never heard of somebody who was evicted from the Java House and then allowed back in. All the way back to the case of Wonton Dave Jacobs, the homeless activist whose activities on the streets of Santa Cruz are legendary, and apparently they didn't suit the yuppie veneer of Kevin, who likes to be hip, but he's actually hypocritical. And we were trying to bring that point forward with signs and flyers and encourage people to boycott and got into a public dialogue. Actually, Kevin was simply doing a bunch of personal attacks against me, and I have some tape from that. I'm hoping that we will be able to find.